And now, Talk Radio 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money, Not Theirs, with hosts Richard Musio and Joe Vecchio. Now, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to It's Your Money, Not Theirs. I'm Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, and we are being heard with 50,000 watts of power, not just in San Diego County, but also Orange County, Los Angeles County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, out to the desert, and it's been a wonderful Sunday here. I know we've had the Rock and Roll Marathon that we're going to talk about and a bunch of other things, but now it is time to introduce my illustrious co-host, actually the main man of the hour, family office advisor to many high net worth families, CPA extraordinaire. Extraordinaire marathon runner and running enthusiast, an inspiring person all the way around, Richard Musio. Richard, good evening. Hi, how was that for an introduction?
Joe, that was a great introduction.
I'm out of breath.
I was going to say, it sounds like you just ran a marathon or a half marathon.
Hey, how was it today?
It was fun. Great running conditions, and it was a lot of fun. But I want to do some hotel history that relates to the half marathon. So here's the story. I spent the weekend downtown at the Sophia Hotel.
Okay.
Not because I necessarily like to stay in hotels since I live in San Diego, but New Year's Eve, I won a raffle at the YMCA fundraiser, and it was two nights at the Sophia Hotel. So I thought, since it's also my birthday, don't everybody break out into song, but since it's also my birthday, I thought, well, why not use the two nights this weekend, because it'll get me down by the start line, because the shuttle service and stuff to the start of the race is a real pain.
Right.
So anyway, this is radio history, Joe. I don't think even you, who know more about media history in San Diego than anybody I've ever met, knows this.
Well, where's this hotel, Sophia?
It's 150 West Broadway. Great hotel.
150 West.
I recommend it highly. But it used to be the Pickwick Hotel.
Okay.
And was owned by the Pickwick Corporation, which,
where the Greyhound bus station.
Exactly. Was the original owner of KGB as well as KNRC in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And from 1928 to 1944, KGB actually broadcast every day from the Pickwick Hotel. Their transmitters were on the roof.
Oh, my gosh.
So how's that for some radio history?
Well, a lot of them scrambled. A lot of the main stations were downtown at one point. I'm pretty sure KFMB was before Kearney Mesa came into existence. I'm not sure where Channel 10. I guess Channel 10 might be on the original site. I don't know. But interesting.
So maybe we should do a show live from there someday. Bring live radio back to Pickwick Hotel.
Let's find the original site of KFMB. It's probably some little, who knows, tattoo parlor down there. But, hey, before we get on with the show, Richard, we've got a great guest tonight, a big figure in coming up in Tuesday's election. So I know you'll want to stick around. But next Monday, June 11th, we are screening our second San Diego Smart Screen film event, and it's the film is Addiction Incorporated. It's about the heroic battle. Well, actually, we had Dr. DeNoble on as a guest in February, the battle against the tobacco industry and his whole story and career, and it's great. He'll be there for the Q&A, but the film's going to be at Ultra Star Hazard Center one night only. I'm putting our guest on the spot. I'm inviting him and his entourage if he'd like to come, because I know he's a health nut. But Addiction Incorporated, next Monday, June 11th, 7 p.m., Ultra Star Hazard Center. You can get ticket information by going to ultrastarmovies.com, ultrastarmovies.com, and more information about the film, Addiction Incorporated, all spelled out, .com, Addiction Incorporated. So anyway, you thought you know everything about tobacco and nicotine and addiction, not until you see this. So anyway, Richard, what would you like to talk about? Anything else before we get on with the show?
How about we introduce our special guest tonight?
Well, how about we do that? And I worked so hard to get him here. I know I've been introducing the last few weeks, and of course you take most of the financial guests in that regard. So, but anyway, it's our distinct privilege and honor to have one of our candidates for mayor this coming Tuesday on the primary election. He's an assemblyman from the 75th district, and you know him as Nathan Fletcher. Nathan, welcome. Good afternoon.
Hey, good evening. Thank you for being here. It's been a great day. I was out there running with Richard.
And Amy, also your campaign manager.
Yeah, we call it Team Fletcher Racing.
Really?
And there's an interesting story. We have a racing team, and it started a couple years ago. I would go out for fun and run 5Ks or 10Ks or half marathons. I did the Ironman a few years ago. Do a lot of triathlons. And I was doing a race, and I knew some people in the race, and a couple people on my staff ran it, and someone said, well, we should get shirts. And so we kind of jokingly got these like really cheesy Team Fletcher shirts for the next race, and it was a complete joke. And someone took a picture and tweeted it. And they put it on their Facebook, and then we started getting all these requests, like, we want to join your racing team. And so we actually constituted Team Fletcher Racing, and we had, I don't know, 50, 60-plus runners for Chelsea's run, finished Chelsea's run.
Sure.
And we got a lot of people running the rock and roll, the half and the full. And it's kind of something fun we do. Wow. Running for a better San Diego.
Yes.
Well, Nathan, come out Thanksgiving morning to the Oceanside Turkey Trot. My foundation, and I am the founder of the Oceanside Turkey Trot. We had over 8,000 runners last Thanksgiving.
You know what? I'll do that one because I did one. I did one this last Thanksgiving, and it was an interesting one because it was a 5K followed by a 10K, but the start times were spread out enough that if you ran the 5K hard enough,
yeah,
you could get back and then run the 10K.
Oh, sure. My gosh.
And I actually did both of them, but I'll come up to Oceanside and run.
We do a 5-miler and then an hour later a 5K, so you can run a 5-mile
You get a little break, relax. Yeah.
You see, Nathan, you meet Richard, you get a lot of runs. It works out. So anyway, not like the Padres, but we won't go there.
Hey, someone told me, they said, if this election doesn't work out for you, you know, I played baseball in college. And there may be a spot on the field for you down at Petco.
Really? Now, what position did you play?
I played the only position.
Which is pitcher?
Catcher.
Really?
Catcher. I was a catcher. I used to go up to the third baseman, and I'd walk up to him in the game. I'd say, where's your ticket stub? He goes, what? I'm like, I know they didn't let you in this game for free. I'm like, you're a third baseman. You don't even play. You just stand there.
Nathan, watch what you say, because one of my cars has a license plate that says play shortstop.
Oh.
Well, I met probably the greatest catcher of all time, who is statistically Yogi Berra. I met this guy. Did you ever meet him?
No.
Someday you have to meet him.
You know who I was a fan of? I had two of my baseball heroes were Cal Ripken. And Cal Ripken for a number of things. He really brought, I came out of a blue-collar family. My dad was a factory worker. And, my family, you show up hard, you work every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day you show up and you leave it all on the field. And I always loved that attitude and approach. He showed up every day and he worked. But, there was another reason I loved Cal Ripken. And when I was a boy, my grandparents lived in Carson City, Nevada, and I'd spend part of the summers with them. And my grandpa would take me to one baseball game a year. We'd drive over to the Bay Area. And one year we'd go to an Angels game, and the next year we'd go to a Giants game, and the next year we'd go to an A's game. And it was the biggest deal. I couldn't wait. Watched the box scores for that team, and I followed them. And McGuire and Canseco were rookies. One of them had just been the rookie.
What year was this? This had to be, 98 or something?
No, that'd be the 80s.
That'd be the 80s, Joe. Late 80s.
So that was my team. I was going to the game that year. I box score every day. Couldn't wait. The Bash brothers had to see him. And I showed up to that game, and it was one of the games late in the season, and they had clinched early. And they both took the day off.
Oh,
and I was crushed. God. I was a kid. I cried. Yeah. It was my only chance to ever see him. So I'm watching an interview with Cal Ripken, who I always liked. This is a few years ago. And it was late at night. I couldn't sleep. I'm flipping through the channels. And it was one of those kind of behind-the-scenes stuff. And they said, why the streak? They said, even after you broke the streak, you broke the record, you kept going every day. And Cal Ripken said, because I know there's kids out there that only get to go to one game a year. And he said, what if I was their favorite player and I didn't show up?
Wow.
And I'll never forget that. So him and Gary Carter was my other guy. He was a catcher, 86
Ooh,
Mets,
good
who
friend
just,
of
just
Hank,
passed away.
Good friend of Hank Bauer. Hank is a real depressed
guy. Yeah, I was very, very sad.
I met him once.
Oh, did you really?
In Pacific Beach, believe it or not. Hank invited me to have a little, it was Diego's at the time. And he was in town for a Mets game, and just a class guy.
Oh,
just
great guy. He was the guy, I wore number 8 my whole time for him. Both of them, both Ripken and Carter were number 8. I always wore number 8. And it was the power of advertising. I got a great lesson in the power of advertising. When in that 86 series, watching a Mets game, the commercial came on, and there was Gary Carter, Ivory Soap. And I made my mom go to the store and buy me some Ivory Soap, because if that's what Gary Carter used, that's what I wanted. So.
And I think Yogi Berra, I'm going to look this up, I think he was number 8 too, but well, we'll figure that out. He was. Hey,
yeah,
we'll
Yogi was number 8.
Yeah, we'll come right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs with our great guest, Nathan Fletcher. Stay tuned.
Levin, tomorrow night, 6 to 9.
Those who preach compromise among the Republicans, I ask you this. Which part of the Bill of Rights should we compromise further? There is no reaching across the aisle. There is no compromise with the forces of soft tyranny and worse. They must be defeated. Nothing else. Because if we're not victorious, they are.
Ladies and gentlemen, the time for compromise is long over. It's time for victory.
Mark Levin, tomorrow night, 6 to 9. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Yeah. Whoa. crazy about cash? Time to go bonkers with Casino Palma's Cuckoo for Cash giveaway. You could get clocked with your share of over $170,000. Sundays, June 3rd and 24th, and Wednesdays, June 13th and 20th. 12 cash-crazed winners each night get up to $10,000 cash. Those same days, there's more wacky winning when you go Cuckoo for Hot Seats. 20 winners each day get $500 in Palma Play and extra entries into the Cuckoo for Cash drawings. Want more ring in your chimes? Join the club that pays to play. New Palm Club members get $20 in Palma Play. Only at Casino Palma, your casino. Highway 76, just 12 miles east of I-15. Must be 18 years or older. Visit CasinoPalma.com for more information.
If you're a homeowner and you pay more than $100 a month for your electric bill, please listen to this important message. You are overpaying for your power. Finally, you don't have to anymore because Solar Universe offers you a choice. Going solar with Solar Universe produces power cheaper and cleaner than buying it from your utility company. With free installation from Solar Universe, there are no upfront costs. You only pay a low monthly amount for your solar power that's much less than your current bill. Those savings add up, and over the life of your solar system, you will save tens of thousands of dollars. Stop overpaying for electricity. Visit us on the web at solaruniverse.com and get a free solar savings estimate in just 20 seconds. Don't wait. You have a choice for better, cheaper power. Visit us online at solaruniverse.com. Solaruniverse.com. That's solaruniverse.com.
Your San Diego solar experts are at Solar Universe. Visit solaruniverse.com.
Hello, classic TV fans. I'm Larry Himmel with my good friend Cookie Chainsaw Randolph with this amazing television offer for KFMB's MeTV. Tell them what they're going to get, Cookie.
You get Gomer Pyle, Beverly Hillbillies, Bonanza, The Big Ballad,
BoJack, Rockford Files, MASH. And how much would you pay for
not
this
a
offer?
Dime, Larry Himmel, because MeTV is free.
And you can watch MeTV over the air at KFMB 8.2.
Free.
Time Warner 132.
Free.
Or Cox 808.
Free.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit matrixdirect.com.
Think you're getting your money's worth for your life insurance policy? Because if you're 40, married, and paying more than $17 a month, chances are you're paying too much. Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. If you're 40 and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $17 a month. For a free, no-obligation quote, call 1-800-939-4456. 1-800-939-4456. 1-800-939-4456.
Follow Sean Hannity tomorrow noon to 3. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Now it's your money, not theirs, on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
All right. That is for Richard Lucio's birthday. Happy birthday, Richard. I don't want to ask you how old you are unless you want to share, but...
54, Joe. I ran a half marathon for my 54th. I would have done the marathon, but I'm still tired from Boston of 7 weeks ago.
Right. Well, you've done that Boston. What, you lost 11 pounds that day.
Yeah, 11 pounds in one day.
I'll never forget.
That's a tough day.
Well, record-breaking heat, Nathan. I mean, that was insane.
Oh, wow.
You were hauling ice. I mean...
how hot was it?
89 in the air and 120 on the pavement.
He was hauling ice. That's for sure. I mean, you were carrying ice to keep you cool, right?
Around. I probably went through 10 pounds of ice.
Yes.
Wow. Wow, that's a long... I mean, a marathon's long enough. You don't need it to be that hot.
And Richard, that's what, your fifth... What? How many marathons was that?
That was my fifth marathon, Joe.
Yeah, okay. And tomorrow, you guys... today's race, exactly, was two halves, so between...
Together, we did a full.
Exactly.
If you throw in Amy, we did a full plus a half.
Exactly. One and a half.
You know, I'll never forget it. The marathon at the end of the Ironman I did. And I think my proudest accomplishment of any endurance sport I've ever did was having a negative run split on the marathon at the end of the Ironman.
Oh, that's impressive. Yeah, to do a negative split.
I mean, it was only a few seconds faster, but it was still faster.
You want to explain that to the listeners who may not know what
it is? Okay, Joe, a negative split is when you run the second half of the race faster than the first half of the race. Most people in long-distance races are slower in the second half than they are in the first half for obvious reasons.
Okay. All right. Well, now we know.
There you go. A little education.
Yes. Well, speaking of...
And I'm finishing my campaign faster and harder and stronger in the second half than the first half,
negative
which is
split
what counts.
Up to the primary. Yeah,
Negative split up to the primary. Yeah, more votes in the second half.
I don't think the other candidates want to challenge into a foot race.
Nobody else is out there running except Nathan.
So. No. Right. They all look like... well, you're in the best shape. We know that.
There you go.
But speaking of tobacco, we were talking at the break, and you said that... you know, in addition to this great film we're going to show next week, but you worked on an initiative that involving that.
I got a real eye opening experience into the power that they hold politically because of the amount of money that they dump in. You know, we had an issue last year. I believe that the role of tax policy is to do two things. I believe tax policy exists first to create steady, stable, reliable revenue to the state so we can deliver services. And it needs to be steady and stable, not boom and bust, so that we steadily budget for it. The second thing it's there to do is create a competitive environment for economic growth in our state, to have a overall structure that is broad and fair, but actually encourages you to grow your economy. And in California, we're one of the only states in America that has two corporate tax codes, right? One that benefits out-of-state companies and one that benefits in-state companies, more or less. And I worked with Governor Jerry Brown, California-based CEOs, people like Paul Jacobs at Qualcomm and Greg Lucier at Life Technology, all said, Nathan, we're at an unfair disadvantage to our out-of-state competitors because they elect the one that benefits them most, and no other state allows us to get that advantage. So they said, eliminate the loophole. Eliminate the loophole that benefits out-of-state corporations, and you will make California more competitive. Well, that brings $1 billion in new money into the state, all right, $1 billion in increased revenues. I negotiated with Jerry Brown for 4 days. And we agreed to permanently cut taxes on small businesses, on manufacturing. One of the only states that has a sales tax on durable goods, manufacturing, and working poor. But it was a good deal, revenue neutral. I just thought it made sense. And oh boy, did we walk into the teeth of the tobacco industry. Because they are one of the largest out-of-state companies that don't employ anyone here. They don't have facilities here, but they sell a lot of their product here. And I'll never forget talking to the guy, and he was so mad. He had a vein thumping in all the way up his forehead.
Who was
it? It was one of their lobbyists in Sacramento.
Okay. Right.
And I said, I'm not picking on you because your product kills people.
Which you should.
I'm picking on you because you don't employ anyone in our state in this particular instance.
Right.
And it was just amazing. A lot of power and sway. We fought hard through massive opposition. We got it out of the assembly, and then we got it stuck in the Senate, and we're back this year again taking them on. Trying to get it done, because we've got to do the right thing for California-based companies.
Well, what do you think of this Prop 29 now that's on the ballot?
I support it.
Good.
I support
good.
It. I mean, it's
it adds a dollar to tax.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the ads against it are really interesting because it says, oh, you don't want that money to go out of state. Well, that money goes out of state now. It just goes to the tobacco industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care who it goes to. If they're going to help fight cancer and do research and development and you know, hopefully try and find a better cure, I'm fine with it.
I mean, it's amazing. Here's a product that there's no upside to it. All it does is hasten death and disease
and costs the state of California a lot of money in health care costs.
Exactly. That's why I think it turned around. When the corporations realized, the additional expense for health care, they started bringing suits. But anyway, I hope you get to come to see this film next Monday.
Yeah, no, I'd like to.
You're
going to
love this. I don't know what your schedule is.
I can't see past 2 days from now from 8 p.m. Tuesday, but I did write a note. We'll talk more Tuesday night. Yeah. Yeah. 48 hours.
Yeah. So anyway, you grew up in Carson City.
Uh-huh.
Went to school in California, right?
Well, so my family was all from Southern California, and I grew up in Carson City, Nevada. I went to high school in Arkansas, actually,
okay. And
then came back out here for the Marine Corps and for college. And I get asked every day if I'm of the Fletchers of Fletcher Hills,
mm-hmm.
Or Fletcher Parkway, or Fletcher mm-hmm. Cove. And I was home. I'm from the factory working Fletcher family.
Okay.
And my dad became a police officer when his factory closed. My mom really was the model for public service for me. She runs shelters for battered women and children. She's an advocate for victims of crime. And had the great honor to serve in the Marine Corps for a decade, which for me was public service. Interesting story, I had missed 3 or 4 years of time with my wife, who's just wonderful, but 3 or 4 years, birthdays and anniversaries, and a couple of them really rough. I had a 2004, was in Sunni Triangle region of Iraq, really the apex of the violence. 2006, I was in Africa for a year. I was out on the Somali border. I was in Yemen, a number of other countries. And I had a unique job in the military. My wife often didn't know what country I was in, and we'd have prolonged periods of time with no contact. So I got back, and she said, what are you going to do next? And I said, well, I'm going to stay in the Marine Corps and go to Afghanistan. And she said, no. She said, you're going to get out and stay in California? And I said, no, I'm pretty sure I'm going to stay in. And then we talked about it for a good minute and a half or so. And we compromised. I got out.
Did you have your two sons by then?
No, we wanted to start a family. So I got out. She said, find another way to serve. I ran for the legislature, started a family. I got two little boys. My oldest turns 4 later this week.
Mm-hmm.
And my baby just turned 1. Mm-hmm. And we want to have a couple more and really enjoy it.
And so expand Team Fletcher.
Yeah, that's right. Expand Team Fletcher.
Take him out there and run.
But you know, my oldest, my 3.5-year-old, he'll run around the block with me. Mm-hmm. He go, Daddy, I'm tired now, buddy. Keep going. So he'll be an athlete.
But you've got plans to serve San Diego's veterans. I mean, to me, that makes you unique among some of the candidates because a lot of them don't really talk about, well, how can we do a better job for the people who've so nobly served our country?
Well, and we have so one of the first policy proposals we put out. And we've put out a ton of them in the course of the campaign because I think you need to lay out the specifics of the types of things you want to do. But one of them related to veterans. And someone said, it's not a city issue. And I said, you bet it is. You bet in any city, but particularly in this city. In this city where the largest sector of our economy is our defense and military industry. In this city where the cultural ties and the history of the city are strongest is the defense and the military. And in this city that continues to be the largest presence of the U.S. Pacific Command, one of 17 strategic ports, home to 1st Marine Division and 1st MEF, it's a part of who we are. And so we put out plans and policies relating to everything from homeless veterans to making sure veterans are getting hired to making sure that we're taking care of the military families. And as mayor, we're going to continue to go out and advocate for that community.
I think we've got 82,000 veterans here. I think it's the second largest concentration in the whole country of veterans. So,
Joe, let me tell you a story. You know, my Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation and the Oceanside Turkey Trot, okay. We got many, many volunteers out of Camp Pendleton.
Mm-hmm.
We have over 400 volunteers for that race. And if you want a smoothly run race, have Marines be your volunteers. It's incredible.
They're always on time,
thanks, guys and gals. I mean, just incredible.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, you know, the military, too, shaped my politics a lot. Mm-hmm. And when you're in the Marine Corps, you just get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you have a mindset that says you just know when you have a task, you're going to do it. And you don't even think about it any other way. And too much in politics today, you know, you have a task and they say balance the budget or do this. And everyone's like, no. Like, their starting point is all the reasons why you can't do it. And that's the mindset. And the Marine Corps brings that different. You know, the other thing that's much different is how I approach. There was a World War II veteran, Lou Fleming. Who I got to know when I was a young guy. He was an Iwo Jima survivor, Marine veteran. And I'll never forget Lou telling me, he said, Nathan, we won a war, we rebuilt Europe, and then we rebuilt America. And we didn't care what your party was. We just got it done. We figured out how to make it work, and we got it done. And I think that there's an aspect of generations that come out of war that have that approach. Yeah. And so in today's politics, one of the candidates for mayor refers to everyone who's ever disagreed with him one time as the enemy. The enemy. And I said, man, you need to calm down. You know, I mean, you got to take a couple of, like, I've seen an enemy. I've seen people die in 3 countries. We don't have enemies here. We have people that sometimes we disagree with. And you can have passionate disagreement. Right? I mean, you shouldn't hide away from your passion or your ideas or your principles. And you should fight fiercely for what you believe in, but you don't have to treat each other poorly because we all are Americans, and I think we need to simmer down a little bit and focus on solutions.
I assume you're referring to the, we won't name names, but the male Republican candidate in the race, but we won't name names.
Yeah, we will not call Carl DeMaio out by his name. But, you know, it's a very different approach. And you know, I was in a meeting with a guy a while back, and we were about 10 minutes in.
But we got to take a break right there, but we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money Not Theirs after New Sports Weather.
Conversation. Follow along. San Diego's talk radio leader. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
You've been thinking about dental implants for years. An acquaintance of yours had it done. Your own dentist told you it'd be a great idea. But you just haven't worked up the gumption to pick up the phone and call Dr. Peter Helwig, have you? You've heard us talk about the amazing custom endosteal implant Dr. Helwig performs. How he does everything in one office. His office. How he has many years of experience in dental implants, and how his fee is all-inclusive, unlike certain discounters who try to charge you more later. The effect can be completely rejuvenating, absolutely life-changing. You'll eat like you used to, your smile will be even better than it used to be. You'll find a special sort of confidence in dealing with others. So, what do you say? Isn't it time for you to at least give Dr. Helwig a call about this? He'll give you a free consultation, you'll learn more, and maybe you'll soon be smiling with confidence. Call Dr. Peter Helwig now. 619-993-6505. 619-993-6505. 619-993-6505. Sedation dentistry available.
So what do you do when you have a small problem in your relationship? The best bet is to handle that issue before it turns into a real hassle. Same thing goes for handling termites. Termites are the stealth bugs of the insect world. Hi, I'm Sue Fries, owner of Ecola. Did you know Ecola is the leading ecological solution for termite problems? Right now, termites are looking for a home. Your home. Chances are they've already moved in. Give them a little rain, a little sun, and they'll start swarming and nesting, turning your home into their feast. Ecola will get rid of them quickly and conveniently with the Ecola Green Advantage. Call us today for a free estimate at 877-332-BUGS. Smart choices, simple solutions, problem solved. Mother approved. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about the Ecola Green Advantage warranty. 877-332-BUGS.
The following is an important public announcement for all individuals concerned about protecting their identity and privacy online. Right now, your private information is available for anyone to see. Information like your children's names, religious and political views, birth date, and even photos of your home. In response, the White House recently unveiled a Consumer Privacy Bill of Rights that declares your right to your personal information on the Internet. And now, with the new innovative online privacy service called Delete Me, you can take control back and delete your private information from prying eyes. Delete Me removes more of your information from sites more thoroughly than any current option. To help you get started, Delete Me is now offering a free personal identity scan to reveal your personal information and show you how to delete it. You can simply access your free scan at 123deleteme.com. That's 123deleteme.com. Protect your online privacy now by going to 123deleteme.com to receive your free personal identity scan. That's 123deleteme.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-319-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-319-MYTV.
At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-319-MYTV. That's 877-319-MY-TV.
All right, small pill. I've got things to do and my joints are sore. What can you do for me?
Well, just one of me is more effective for sore joints than two big glucosamine and chondroitin pills.
Says who?
A 90-day human clinical study.
You've done your research?
Mm-hmm.
What's your name, newbie?
Move Free Ultra. I'm really good at comforting sore joints and I even help with mobility.
I like it. Now get to work, little pill. Somebody get me a glass of water.
Move on. Move free. With new Shift Move Free Ultra.
San Diego's talk radio leader. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Find out what the city's next mayor will do in the future. I'm 760's Rick Williams, and here are the stories that we're following. Well, all the candidates that want to be San Diego's next mayor were on 760 KFMB Friday morning, their final debate before next Tuesday. Mike Slater moderated. The entire discussion is posted online at 760KFMB.com. It's interesting. A 69-year-old man committed suicide Friday morning right in front of the Chula Vista Police Station. Police say about 9:30, he laid in the sidewalk, shot himself in the chest, and they found a suicide note nearby. The price for a gallon of gas had fell to $4.23 in the county today after dropping nearly 3 cents over the last 2 days. The price has fallen over 14 cents in the last 17 days, and it's still 22 cents more than a year ago. Visit Starbucks now through this evening and get a complimentary tall drink with a purchase of Starbucks Via Iced Coffee, lightly sweetened and made with 100% natural roasted Arabica beans, perfect for a summer day. In weather, cloudy and 63 at Lindbergh Field. And in sports, the Padres lost to Arizona at Petco tonight, 6-0. Follow Mike Slater Monday morning on 760 KFMB.
Back in a bathroom-sized jail cell in Sanford, Florida, his bail revoked, George Zimmerman, the admitted shooter of the unarmed teenager Trayvon Martin. Even his own lawyer says legal procedures could leave Zimmerman behind bars for 6 months to a year or more. Sparking interest, word presented today at a Chicago conference of a powerful new cancer drug. Doctors say it acts as a smart bomb. 28-year-old Bridget Spencer was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer just out of college. After traditional treatments didn't work, she turned to a clinical trial. Within 3 months, months of being on this powerful cocktail, the tumors started shrinking.
This drug has bought me more time to be 28 years old.
Right now, investigators are on their way to the crash site of an air tanker plane about 2 hours west of Cedar City, Utah. NTSB says two on board died. The aircraft was dropping chemicals to fight a wildfire along the Nevada-Utah border. Investigators at the site of a jetliner crash site in an apartment building in Nigeria. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The liberal culture is failing America.
Follow Roger Hedgecock tomorrow, 3 to 6. We lead the conversation. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Now, it's your money, not theirs, on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
We're back with Henry Mancini and more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs with our great guest Nathan Fletcher, mayoral candidate, and my co-host Richard Musio, who has to thank a few sponsors.
Big thanks to our major sponsor, UBS, and Mr. Drew Freitas, who's getting married. So, Drew, your life is changing forever. For the better, though. And Mr. Michael Quaranta, who's been married for many, many years. Our other sponsors, Mr. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited, the CPA firm of Plato Epic, Don Epic, and Paul Polito. CPAs, Regents Bank, Dan Yates, Sean Puckett. Again, many thanks to you, gentlemen. And, of course, Rich Gaines with Family Legacy Legal. Thank you, everybody. So, Joe, you had a question you wanted to fire, Nathan.
Well, I guess flowing from the question regarding the Mr. DeMaio, there's a commercial running now. It's been getting a lot of coverage in the news about one of the widows of a slain police officer was the narrator, and Mr. DeMaio's threatening all the stations that are running it. And, of course, I think he's just bringing more attention to it. But, Nathan, do you have any comments or statements regarding that particular commercial, that whole controversy?
Well, when you run for office, you're accountable for your record. And I've certainly been held accountable for mine. And you might not always like it, but your record is your record. And this isn't politics. This is a fact. In July of 2010, Carl DeMaio voted against survivor benefits. In June of 2011, he voted against survivor benefits. And he has a choice to make in terms of either A, explaining why he voted that way and giving his best rationale and reason for why he did it, or B, just saying, hey, those votes were a mistake. And I didn't, you know, understand the issue. I got new information. I look at it, and people are forgiving. I've had votes where I said, hey, that was a mistake. I learned. I got more. But to come out and call the widow of a slain police officer a liar, I think is pretty unconscionable. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I think the voters will take all of these things into account when they go in and decide.
I hope so. Well, I mean, candidates go through evolutions. Now, obviously, you went through an evolution choosing to go independent here. Do you want to discuss that process and what you went through to arrive at that? Obviously, you got some blowback.
Sure. Well, which is going to happen. I mean, the system is set up to say you got to go in one of two boxes. And then in today's world, when you go in that box, you got to go to the extreme side of that box, and you're supposed to toe the line 100% of the time. And the problem is I didn't fit in that little box. And I realized that early on in my time in the assembly. There were just issues that I viewed differently. Mm-hmm. And there was a period in our time where we had political parties that allowed people to be an independent-minded member of the party. But that doesn't exist today. And what I saw was a political process that had become increasingly more partisan, increasingly more divisive. You were expected to toe the line 100% of the time, and then even when you agreed, you had to agree in a very caustic, angry manner. And there were a couple real precipitating things that really gave me a moment to pause and reflect. One of which was that tax deal I worked out with Jerry Brown, where I would have party leaders and insiders go, that's a great deal. It'll create jobs, put people back to work. And I said, you'll support it. And they go, well, I didn't say that. I can't let Jerry Brown look good. Well, who cares who looks good? Just fix the problem. And then the second was being told one too many times that if you're going to have success in the Republican Party, you're going to learn how to play the game. And that's not why I didn't go through everything I went through in my life to come home and play games. And so I left partisan politics because I believe in the context of a DeMaio and a Filner who are very partisan, the voters need a clear and compelling difference in choice of a candidate who's going to be an independent voice. Mm-hmm. Focus on solutions. Mayor Bloomberg came out and endorsed me this week, which mm-hmm. was a great endorsement.
He's independent,
and he joins Democratic mayors like Kevin Johnson of Sacramento and Republican mayors like Dick Reardon of Los Angeles who support me. And if I'm mayor, my only priority is rebuilding our city, getting people back to work, improving our schools, and doing the right thing.
And there's an independent senator in the U.S. Senate, I think. Is that Bernie Sanders? A lot of the political scientists believe we do need a strong third party these days. You know, you hear a lot of people, you know, you've got 300 plus million people. There's more than just two points of view on several issues.
And they've reacted very strongly. You know, I think a lot of the parties view me in some ways as almost an existential threat to their being, and they're devoting a lot of resources and energy towards stopping us, which I believe just makes the point even more.
Yeah, Richard, you had a comment.
Let me change topics, anything, because we talk a lot about pension and public pension reform on this show. Where do you stand on the pension issues that are facing this city?
Well, the city has to address the problem. The city currently faces a $2.1 billion unfunded liability, which gets addressed through the ARC payment, the annual required contribution, which climbs steadily between now and 2025. I would say 2026 would be a great time to be the mayor, because it'll start coming down. But I don't want to be the mayor then. I want to be the mayor now. And I think Richard, for two things. One, for the sake of your listeners, I think we got to understand how we got in the problem. In one hand, we gave benefits that were too high, that let people retire too early with spiking. We also gave them retroactive without both sides making up contributions, and that's wrong. But the other thing is when you go through and you read the Kroll Commission, you look at Manager Proposal 1, which was not sought fully dealt with in terms of meeting its triggers, and then Manager Proposal 2, where there was a systemic underfunding of the pension system to have a convention and a ballpark. And that contributed to the deficit as well. So how do you deal with it? I think it's three parts. I would implement the pension reform measure on the ballot. The voters will pass. The real savings from that come from the five-year freeze in pension roll pay, which has to be negotiated. You can't impose that, but it can be negotiated. And that lowers that ARC payment because it reduces what is a 4% assumed annual rate of increase in salary for the employees. The second thing that I would do, most of the abuses of the pension system, if we're being honest, come from the management level. The guy picking up your trash makes $28,000, $29,000 a year. He isn't breaking the pension system. And I said, as mayor, I will stop the accumulation of new six-figure pensions, which the mayor can do, because those top-level managers are not even in a labor union. They're not represented. The mayor sets their wages and hours and working conditions. The third thing I would do is we will push the federal government to get a ruling from the IRS to allow for blended plans. And then we will take a lot of those young city workers who are in those very generous pension systems that are currently paying 15 or 16% of their weekly paycheck into their pension. We'll offer them a little bit less generous one, but maybe one they only contribute 10 or 11%. And I think for a 4 or 5, 6% net take-home pay raise, a lot of them would opt out into the less generous one, which will also affect that. But most importantly, we'll get it done, we'll resolve it, and then we'll move on, because I don't want to spend the next decade talking about pensions.
I'm just a little bit worried about litigation if that passes, if collective bargaining is skirted, but I guess we'll cross that bridge.
Well, and you know, it's interesting, though, because I don't prefer initiatives. I don't think that's the way to govern. I said this in a debate the other day. You know, DeMaio said, if I'm mayor, we're doing an initiative for this, initiative for that, on and on and on. And I said, if your idea of governing is ballot initiatives, you don't need to be the mayor. You can just be a signature collector, right? Because a mayor is there to negotiate in good faith, to reach agreements, to pass them. But the measure's on the ballot. It's going to pass. And we'll see what happens with litigation. I'd like to see us get a five-year labor deal negotiated in good faith through the collective bargaining process, and then be able to move on.
Yeah, well, mayor's supposed to lead. So speaking of leadership, you are the author of Chelsea's Law, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations, because that's great
Thank
work.
You. Yeah, that was one that was, here's a good contrast in terms of how you deal with things. When we started that process, we were openly mocked and told there's no way you'll pass it. In the history of the legislature, these measures never get through. You got to do a divisive ballot measure. And I said, I don't want to do that. We negotiated in good faith. I negotiated with the Speaker of the Assembly for 21 consecutive days before I introduced it. We made reasonable compromise. We didn't compromise the core values of what was important in the bill, but we made reasonable compromise. In a period of budget deficits, for every penalty increase for those that violently target children, I identified a corresponding decrease in an area. You know, I would say justice is blind but not dumb, and we had some penalties that were dumb. And we did it the right way. And the two good things in that is we demonstrated to the public that elected officials do have the capacity to solve and address problems. But the second part of that is important, that goes to something Joe just said, is when you do a ballot measure, you're stuck with it. And, you know, every year since I did Chelsea's Law, I've done a smaller, less high-profile version. We call it a Chelsea's Law cleanup bill. where we come in and we make little tweaks to ensure implementation, to ensure enforcement, to change little things, to make sure that, we continue to do that, as opposed to a ballot measure where it passes and you're stuck. And I think it really demonstrates how I approach things, and as mayor, what my approach will be.
Well, let's hold that thought. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs after this short announcement.
Follow Sean Hannity tomorrow noon to 3.
I don't see how you get out of $16 trillion in debt, $5 trillion new Obama debt. At the end of 8 years, God forbid he gets reelected, another $10 trillion. If he keeps on this path, there's no way he won't double the amount of debt accumulated from every president prior to him. That's how bad this is. It's his economy. It's his record deficits. And somehow now he's blaming Republicans for all this.
Sean Hannity, tomorrow noon to 3. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
It's been ages since my dad and I had a heart-to-heart, but we did last weekend. He asked if I had life insurance. Can't afford it, I said. He put a hand on my shoulder. The way things are today, you can't afford not to have it. What would Linda and the kids live on if something happened to you? Then he told me how SelectQuote impartially shops for your best rate from several competitively priced term life companies. Well, I gave them a call, and wow, I'm 41 and in great health. SelectQuote found me a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $22 a month.
For your free quote, call 1-800-800-4023. That's 1-800-800-4023. 1-800-800-4023. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Rather than going into someone's home after Marical Design and Remodeling has completed their project, this time we visit John and Lisa Keys of Hamul, and they're about 90% through the process. We wanted to get their honest thoughts about choosing Marical to totally renovate their home. What's impressed them the most has been the people doing the work.
I would definitely recommend Marical. The quality of people and the product is just amazing.
The quality of the people that come to our home. I mean, I know quite a bit about construction and I watch what they do. Most of the people they work with, they've been working with for 15, 20 years. I mean, it's like family. All these different contractors that come in for electric, plumbing, whatever else it may be. Just super quality people.
We have no issues whatsoever, and just compliments and, you know, reassurances that we just made the right choice with Marical.
Quality construction and design done by quality people. See the Keys home remodeling project online at followthisjob.com. followthisjob.com. Call Marical and see what's possible for your home. 619-441-9300.
Stop by Rapid Transmissions during the month of June and mention KFMB to receive 50% off their regularly priced fluid services to include transmission, differential, and transfer cases. They will also do a complete operational check of your drivetrain to ensure you are ready for the summer heat. Rapid wants to maximize the overall life of your transmission. Stop in today and see why the experts at Rapid are the right ones for the job. 800-562-7675 or rapidtransmissions.com.
Attention, attention.
Attention, attention.
Rosetta Stone invites you to be a part of its biggest language learning event in history, because in 2012, we want to help 3 million people learn a new language. That's why we're going to give you an absolutely free demo of our language immersion technology. Call 1-800-944-6553. Developed to fully immerse you in your new language, the Rosetta Stone solution is easier than ever before. For your free demo, call 1-800-944-6553. 1-800-944-6553.
Follow Mark Levin
tomorrow night, 6 to 9.
Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Now, it's your money, not theirs, on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
All right, it's Mission Possible with Nathan Fletcher here. Welcome back to more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the San Diego Union-Tribune editorial board interview process that you had. I read that transcript, and how many people were there, and what do you think about that whole process and what they had to say? And
well, I mean, there are, I don't know, 5 or 6 people that were there. And when you buy a paper, it's your paper. Mm-hmm. At least the editorial pages. And, I mean, the whole paper's yours, but generally by journalistic standards, the editorial page is the only one that where they exercise direction. And their preference is for a Carl DeMaio-type candidate, and that's fine. Because I can only be who I am. And if you want that approach, and some people do, then you got to go. And I would say be careful with what you're buying. because I don't think that's what you want in your mayor. I think you need a mayor that can work with people, that can bring people to the table, that can solve problems and get things done. But, you know, I went through that process, and I was completely open. I answered every question, told him exactly the type of mayor I'd be, said, if you want that, you should go there. If you want this, you should go here. And then to have the following week something come out, these questions that are unanswered when I had just answered them, was a little irritating. So we just released the audio.
Were they a little testy, would you say, when they interviewed, or was it from more of a...
Well, the interview was fine. I mean, then after, you know, in the lead up to the next weeks, it was a little testy and contentious. And my frustration was, hey, we had already dealt with all of these topics and subjects. And you had made clear what was most important to you, which was having a partisan in office, and I'm not a partisan. And I'm not going to be. And so, you know, we released the transcripts just to demonstrate to everyone we had answered every question that was asked.
Yeah, that was admirable of you to do that, because typically we don't get to see those types of things. So with the media coverage you've had thus far, has it been generally pretty fair, would you say? Or?
Yeah, I would say so in general. I mean, you know, we obviously have some concerns with, you know, with some of the things that have come out of there. But overall, I think that the media is changing so dramatically in today's world.
Yeah,
and people are getting their information from so many different places. But I think that there's been an attempt through televised debates, through interviews, through coverage, for most of the stations, at least, to try and come in and try and play it straight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Nathan, question one of your more interesting initiatives to me, because of, you know, the importance that the port plays in this community, is what's called your Plan for Maritime Prosperity. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those highlights?
Yeah, I think you need a mayor's got to understand a couple of things. The economy's changed dramatically, and if we're looking forward to a vision of where we take our city, and that's what a mayor does. A mayor projects a vision and leads. And I said I want to redefine San Diego as the world's most innovative city and rebuild our economy with five goals and metrics in place. One is total number of jobs, which was obvious, but to make sure we create the right types of jobs, we're going to measure the number of patents we drive, the amount of venture capital that comes to our region. We're going to measure the median income, because I want good middle-class jobs. We want good jobs. Provide health care, buy a home, put your kids in college. And so the median income, make sure, we think about that with policies in mind. And then the fifth one is measuring the dollar amount we export. Because we're a global society. 95% of the world's customers live outside of America. And we can like or not like that, but it's here and we have to embrace it. And so we laid out a plan. I called for a 33% increase in the dollar amount we export between now and 2020 as a goal. That would increase our exports by $5 billion a year, take us from $15 billion we currently do to $20 billion. Some of that will be over the border crossing, but a lot of that will be through the port. And in the port plan, we talk about a whole host of things, but a couple quick highlights. One, I mentioned earlier, we're one of 17 strategic U.S. ports, which means we want more Navy, more military. That means more shipbuilding, because there are specific policies in place that protect domestic shipbuilding, and we want to have that capacity here. The second thing we talk about is increasing short sea shipping. It's really something that's catching on in a lot of places. Gets trucks off the road. It's faster. It's cheaper. It's more environmentally conscious. San Diego is a perfect location for short sea shipping. And then the third is really doing an assessment. I mean, we've had anecdotal examples where port officials have gone to a business and said, "Hey, why are you shipping that out of the port of Long Beach? You can do that here," and they just don't know. And so that's an example where we can go through and I think bring a lot of business back to the Port of San Diego. And then the fourth thing is having a mayor that will be an ambassador. Singapore is one of the largest, busiest ports in the world. And have a mayor that will take a trade delegation and strike those agreements, strike those import-export accords. You know, people in other countries don't understand what a port commissioner is. But they know what a mayor is, and they know who the mayor of San Diego is. So really going out and being an ambassador and advocate for the port. And that does a lot of things. It really helps our export-driven economy. It also creates a lot of good jobs that are down there. And those go back to those jobs that tie in to the median income. And the creative economy that we want to be.
Yeah, I like talking about good jobs, because frequently the employment solution that's recommended for San Diego centers around hospitality and the control that the downtown associations have over hotels and so on. And I don't think those bring in a lot of good paying jobs. Yeah. I don't see much point to bringing in jobs where people can't afford to live in the community that they're working in.
Yeah.
And right to that point, Richard, you know, if you have a job that you end up having to subsidize. So if I have a job that doesn't provide you health care, that person's going to have health care. They're going to go to the emergency room, and then we're all going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. If you have a job that you can't afford to buy or rent a home, you're still going to have a home. We're all going to subsidize it through affordable housing. You know, if you have a job where you can't afford to feed your children, we're all going to subsidize it through public assistance. And so when we build the economy of the future, I agree with you completely that we've got to focus on the areas that provide us the most sustainable, good quality jobs, which is why we put in place those metrics.
Well, a lot stems from education first, so that's a big issue. And then, of course, I know you're a big advocate of the biotech sector and sphere and improving that, because I saw you signed a petition online. Right. To create a free enterprise zone. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
When you look at the economic anchors, you have defense and military, which I've mentioned a couple times. You have technology, and in technology you have bio and energy and clean and all healthcare and all those. And then you have travel and tourism. And really building, and so we have plans for the first one. We have a lot of plans for the second one. And that really is at the heart of becoming the world's most innovative city. And it's a series of things. It's the normal, making sure that you're an easy place to start a business. But it also goes to education. I'll never forget sitting with a biotech CEO, and I said, what do you need to create jobs? Or I'm sorry, a technology CEO. And he said, I have jobs, Nathan, hundreds of them. I don't have the workers with the skills. It's an education issue. Right. He said, if you care about jobs, you care about education. It's actually even a land use issue. A friend of mine who's CEO of a major software company in the technology sector, he said, I can't get these workers to move here. And I said, why? And he said, these young workers, these creatives, they're picking a place to live first. Quality of life is more important. He said, they won't leave Chicago. They want to live and work and play in the same environment, the same neighborhood. They want culture. They want art. They want parks. They want transit. So, how do we start thinking about these types of things when we're really building a city to attract those types of jobs, which are those good local jobs? And it's everything. It's transit. It's infrastructure. It's open space. It's quality of life. It's bike paths. It's education. Everything with an understanding of where we're trying to go as a city. And if I'm mayor, our vision and our goal would be to become the world's most innovative city, the best place to create 21st century jobs, and will not only create good jobs, but those are jobs that are changing the world. They're improving people's health care. They're improving their quality of life. They're cleaning up the environment. And I think there's a real powerful role for San Diego to play.
And we're both friends of Bill Walton. I know he's a big advocate for the green economy. And hopefully we'll get more solar in this city. Gosh, Richard, we're out of time.
Time flies when you're having fun,
Happy
Joe.
Birthday, Richard.
Oh, thanks.
Happy birthday. Congratulations, you two gentlemen, on your run today. We'd like to thank you, Nathan, for being here.
Good luck Tuesday.
Good luck on Tuesday. Thank you to Justin Hart, our technical director. Thank you to Craig Blank, your account executive. And thank you to Dave Sniff for making it all happen on our program. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Hi, I'd like to apply for a student loan.
Wonderful. We just need to verify that you've registered with Selective Service.
But I haven't registered.
Oh.
I'd like to sign up for a job training program.
Fantastic! This program is great for learning the skills that help you get a good job. Let's just check to make sure you've registered with Selective Service.
Well, I haven't registered.
Oh.
Thank you for letting me interview for this government job. I'm really excited about working here.
Well, yes, but your records indicate that you're not registered with Selective Service. I'm sorry.
Young men who fail to register with Selective Service can find a lot of doors closed to them. The law requires that all men register with Selective Service within 30 days of their 18th birthday. If you don't, you lose your right to receive student loans and job training.
Attention, all women with a muffin top. Research from the Mayo Clinic proves that people who carry fat in their midsection have a higher risk of health problems, such as heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, and even cancer. If this is you, we have good news, because women who need to lose 30 pounds or more instantly qualify for a free trial of Sensa, a clinically proven way for women to lose weight all over. To experience the most dramatic weight loss results, you must be a female over the age of 25 and need to lose over 30 pounds. Call 1-800-400-0360 now and request your free 30-day trial. In a six-month clinical study, one of the largest weight loss studies ever conducted, participants lost an average of 30 pounds using Sensa. And if you're a woman, now you can too. Call and instantly qualify for your free trial of Sensa. 1-800-400-0360. Strict limit of one free trial per household. 1-800-400-0360. That's 1-800-400-0360.
We follow the story, then we lead the conversation. The
campaign of Barack Obama for re-election is going to finally degenerate to, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?
Follow the leader. 760.